From claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt.
EWTN Radio presents The Miracle Hunter with Michael O'Neill.
Welcome to The Miracle Hunter Radio Show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm The Miracle Hunter. Hey, we have a great show ahead for you today. And as you know, I've looked at Marian apparitions my entire life, or it seems that way anyway. It'd be pretty hard to do that from a young age. But from at some point going forward with MiracleHunter.com, I've documented as many as 2,500 Marian apparitions throughout history on that website. And perhaps it's that website that's led to many other things. And we document those things on the website as far as those that have been approved as supernatural by the Catholic Church, and those things that have been condemned, I list those as well. And then there are some that are in the middle, that are sort of in a wait-and-see category on the as judged by the Catholic Church, and maybe someday that they'll be recognized as true apparitions of the Virgin Mary. And sometimes those categories change, or the judgments change, where sometimes they're condemned and they moved up to approved, and sometimes they're approved and they move down to condemned. So we are going to be examining that a little bit today with Dr. Mark Miravalli. He's perhaps the top Mariologist in the United States, and he's an expert on Our Lady of All Nations, these apparitions happening decades ago in Amsterdam, and that have been received the approval of the Church. But they've come on harder times, so to speak, in that the Church doesn't view them as favorably these days. So we'll be talking with Dr. Miravalli about some of the changes in the judgments that have been related to Our Lady of All Nations. We'll also be talking with Aaron Berghaus, the director of Santiago, the Camino Within. This is a brand new film about that famous pilgrimage route of St. James. And there's a big Fathom Events movie release that'll be exclusively in select theaters nationwide for one night only, and that's on Tuesday, March 28th. So I'm excited to talk to Aaron today about that great show, or that great pilgrimage route that so many people have talked about after they have gone on and experienced conversions of heart and spirit. And later in the show, we'll be talking about, of course, my pilgrimage, which is wrapping up the signups. That's April 29th through 27th. That's Poland and Lithuania. You can go to pilgrimages.com/miraclehunter. You can travel to Poland and walk in the footsteps of John Paul II and visit the Shrine of Divine Mercy to see where Jesus appeared to Saint Faustina, her relics, her convent chapel, her tomb. And also we'll go to those saints' famous salt mines and the notorious Auschwitz concentration camp with Saint Maximilian Kolbe's cell, and also the miraculous icon of Our Lady of Częstochowa and Marian apparition sites. So check that one out. It's $3,999 for that pilgrimage. You can go to pilgrimages.com/miraclehunter to find out more and sign up. And that window for signups is coming to a close. People can also check out my brand new book, Science and the Miraculous, How the Catholic Church Investigates the Supernatural. That one's out from Tan Books and available at ewtnrc.com. Is the Church anti-science? Well, no. The Church uses science to validate and investigate miraculous events such as Eucharistic miracles, Marian apparitions, incorruptible saints, and healing miracles. And so in that book, I go through all the ways that the Church employs science to find out if something is truly miraculous or not. Later in the show, we're going to be looking at the 365 Days with Mary project. Today is the Lady of All Nations from Amsterdam in Netherlands in 1945, and the might-be saint of the day, Blessed Margareta Flesch from Germany, who lived from 1826 to 1906. Today is her memorial as well. And the question of the week, what happens when the Vatican does not accept the positio of a potential saint in a canonization cause? That's an interesting answer. Stay with us for that. Let's take a look at the miracle news happening. We do this every week where we talk about the miracles happening all around the world and those things that relate to miracles. And perhaps this is a report of a search for a miracle, because Mother Mary Lange's canonization cause reaches the Vatican is the headline. And Mother Mary Elizabeth Lange is among six African-American Catholics on the road to sainthood, and recently her cause was accepted by the Vatican. That doesn't mean that she's a saint yet, or a blessed, or a venerable. It just means that her cause is officially approved by Rome, and it will be a moving forward. So at the end of last month, the Vatican informed Mother Mary Lange's religious order that it has approved the positio, the documentation on the life of Mother Lange, which includes both the theological and historical records of her life. And this marks an important step in the cause for canonization, as the Vatican Dicastery for the Causes of Saints will review the positio, that is the position paper, and then hand it off to Pope Francis for him to declare Mother Mary Lange as venerable. So Mother Mary Lange, she left Cuba to seek a new life in the United States, and she settled in Baltimore, and where many French-speaking Catholic refugees from Haiti had settled. And Elizabeth quickly recognized that the children of the many Caribbean immigrants needed education, and she was a courageous and loving woman and translated her deep spiritual life into concrete actions. That was a quote from that article. And despite the opposition and prejudice of this time, she was eventually given permission to start her own religious order, the Oblate Sisters of Providence. And Mother Lange was a hardworking woman who persevered through a difficult time in the United States, staying faithful to God and the Catholic Church. And so that's the miracle news for this week. That is the search for a miracle now for Mother Mary Lange as she as that canonization cause moves forward. Let's take a look at Catholic Pub Trivia. We do this every week where we ask a trivia question and give out a prize to an emailer that writes in the fastest with the correct answer. And my friends who know me know that I love trivia, and they might find me in a pub sometime playing Catholic Pub Trivia. Not really. We do that on this show. And each week I ask a trivia question and give out a prize for an emailer who writes in the fastest with the correct answer. And last week we talked about Blessed Carlo Acutis, who died at the age of 15 from leukemia, and who is the youngest American to be beatified. And that answer is Miriam Teresa Demjanovic from New Jersey at the age of 24. The question this week, we're talking about the Camino of St. James, and it's considered one of the four major pilgrimage routes of Christianity. What are the other three? Oh, that's hard. You have to give me three answers to this one. So again, the Camino of St. James is considered one of the four major pilgrimage routes of Christianity. What are the other three? If you think you know that answer and want to win the prize, the image of the faces of Mary, send me an email. Go to my website, miraclehunter.com, and answers and winners will be posted on the show page on miraclehunter.com as well. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Mark Miravalli. He's perhaps the top Mariologist in the United States. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. We talk a lot about Marian apparitions on this show, and you can go to my website, miraclehunter.com, and you can see as many as 2,500 Marian apparitions throughout history that have been claimed that I've got documentation on my website. When we talk about levels of approval, like fully approved, we talk about constat de supernaturalitate, established as supernatural, and non constat, which is somewhat of a wait-and-see approach. And then we talk about constat de non supernaturalitate, established as not supernatural. These are the three main categories that we talk about when we talk about apparition approval as coming from the Catholic Church. And throughout history, we've seen various apparitions start at one level and move to a higher level, and sometimes they go from the higher level and they're bumped down to a lower level. And we have this fascinating case of the Lady of All Nations from Amsterdam in the Netherlands, starting on March 25th, 1945, and March 25th is today, so today is a perfect day to talk about these series of 56 apparitions over 14 years that were claimed and have been received the full approval of the Church, but we have some different things happening as far as the Church's judgment on them now. Well, we're so excited today to talk with Dr. Mark Miravalli, one of the top Mariologists in the United States and professor of Mariology at Steubenville at Franciscan University at University at Steubenville. You can find out more about his work at motherofallpeoples.com. Welcome back to the program today, Dr. Miravalli.
Thank you, Michael. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And of course, today, March 25th, is the anniversary from 1945 of the apparitions of the Lady of All Nations. And for some years, this stood as one of the fully approved apparitions in our Catholic Church, receiving the highest judgment from the local bishop. And things have somewhat changed over the last couple of years, you might say, that the church has reevaluated this. Can you talk a little bit about first, what are these apparitions? Talk about the backstory of what happened in 1945.
Sure, Michael. Well, again, on March 25th, 1945, Ida Perteman, Dutch woman, middle-aged woman, reportedly received an apparition of Our Lady, predicting the end of the Second World War, which happened exactly as she predicted. She then, for the next 5 to 6 years, would do dozens of geopolitical prophecies about events in the world, different countries, things like Israel would become its own country again, Korea would have a civil war, there'd be warring in the Balkans, warring around Jerusalem. Really extraordinary number of prophecies, all of which would take place. And that would all lead to 1951 through 1959, an ongoing request for a papal definition of a dogma of Our Lady as co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. And so the bishop, auxiliary bishop Punt, met with Cardinal Ratzinger in 1995. He discussed this with him. Cardinal Ratzinger gave him the go-ahead to make a statement, and the statement that was made both by the bishop at the time, the ordinary, so to speak, and then Bishop Punt, was to allow devotion according to one's conscience. And then in 2002, because the Bishop Punt, the then ordinary of Amsterdam, was flooded with requests throughout the world, you know, what's your discernment on this? And he came out with a consta de supernaturalitate, as you well articulated, that the highest form of approval. And for the next 18 years, curial cardinals from Rome and bishops from all over the world would come to the International Prayer Day in Amsterdam that Our Lady had requested. Well, then the change you referred to happened on December 30th of 2020, and the new bishop, Bishop Hendricks, which you've had on your program,
yes,
a great interview with him. Bishop Hendricks made a new statement stating, A, that the prayer can continue as it is, B, that the devotion can continue, and C, that the title can continue, but that there cannot be any reference to the message as now being approved, and in essence, as you say, kind of revising the status to that middle category, to non constat. And of course, Michael, except for individuals like you who have the expertise, many people thought this was a condemnation. It wasn't a condemnation at all. It was just simply going back to a middle category. And so that's the present status. And it's a bit of an interesting case, Michael, even from a theological perspective, because A, after having been approved for so many years, one question is, well, can a new bishop actually do that? Can a new bishop revoke a previous bishop's approval? So, for example, if the Bishop of Fatima today said, well, I don't think Fatima's authentic, could he really revoke the previous bishop? And most canonists would say, well, no, he doesn't really have that power. The dicastery for the doctrine of faith has that authority, but not an upcoming bishop or a new bishop in line. So that's kind of an interesting case. And then there was a reference that I think came out when you were interviewing Bishop Hendricks about a seeming statement of Paul VI confirming that it's non constat. Well, that's in fact, it was a bit odd because for 50 years, no one had ever made reference to this, and all of a sudden it seemed to surface, although you acutely asked Bishop Hendricks if he had seen the document, and he responded, no, I haven't seen the document. So, but even if it had been done, it was a disciplinary note. And so that's not morally perpetual. Padre Pio, it was well known that Pius XI knew that Padre Pio was being condemned and prohibited and sanctioned, as well with John the 23rd and Divine Mercy. So, you know, we have the precedence of this. So in either case, it wouldn't be something that would be definitive now. It was just a disciplinary note at best, even if Paul VI had done that. So anyway, a lot of questions around it, but of course we still stand in obedience. The good news is the faithful continue to have devotion, and Bishop Hendricks last year on the prayer day of Amsterdam did a beautiful homily on the prayer and the urgent need for the mother of all peoples in our present status in the church and in the world.
We're talking today with Dr. Mark Miravalli about the Lady of All Nations, the apparitions that were claimed starting from March 25th, 1945 by Ida Pertemann. And we have to ask the question, and maybe this is a tricky question, but why did this happen in 2020? What motivated this change, do you think?
Well, that is a very tricky question, Michael. It seems fairly clear that it was not motivated by Bishop Hendricks. Bishop Hendricks was a annual participant at the Lady of All Nations prayer day, and he had voiced his previous opinion of accepting the apparitions. So it appears that there was some pressure from now the dicastery for the doctrine of faith to do this. So once again, that's a little dubious in that if the congregation, or now we call it the dicastery, right, for the doctrine of faith, they wanted a change, it would probably be best to come from them. I think what's most concerning for all, Michael, is that no reasons were given. It was simply after, and again, this is internationally celebrated series of apparitions and devotion, let alone the fact that it's a little bit of a theological inquiry to say, it's like Jesus saying, you know a tree by its fruits. Well, this decision says, well, the fruits are fine, you can continue with the fruits, you just can't pass around messages regarding the tree. And that's a little odd. And again, I think some of these things work themselves out in time, but it's a little bit of a theological headache to say the prayer is great, the devotion is great, but we don't have clarity on the apparition. And again, even in some mistaken notions, seeing that the apparition is condemned, which of course it absolutely is not.
And I believe this stands alone as the only case like this. I've studied Marian apparitions and their approval status for many years now, and it seems that there's been no other case that's been approved for as long as 18 years as this one was, and then it reversed back in the other direction. We have a case like Lipa in the Philippines, which, of course, is also Mary is referred to as Mediatrix of All Grace, so there's some similarity in that, and that was approved and reversed very quickly within the same year. But this one, for staying put for 18 years, is quite remarkable. So this is something unique. So when we talk about going forward with Our Lady, the Lady of All Nations, what do you expect to happen as far as the faithful and their engagement with it? And also, how does Rome deal with this going forward?
Right. Well, again, not to be prophetic with this, but I think very much like, the 20 years where Divine Mercy was prohibited, until a guy named Karol Wojtyła came on the scene, our beloved St. John Paul II, I think sometimes these things are tested. Again, Padre Pio had two times. One was a 10-year span, and then there was a 3-year span where he was prohibited from saying public Mass. God has his ways, but I personally, and I say this in total obedience to the December 30th, 2020 decision, but I personally have no doubt of the authenticity of the Lady of All Nations apparitions. I think perhaps some may not be comfortable with the fact that reportedly Our Lady repeatedly asked for a dogma of Mary Co-Redemptrix, Mediatrix, and Advocate. I think some see that as kind of against the ecumenical mission of the Church, but I think a proper understanding of the ecumenical mission of the Church says, oh no, Our Lady is the instrument of Christian unity. She's not the obstacle. And there's two reasons you proclaim a dogma, Michael. One is if you just want to underscore it for the faithful, right? You want to highlight it, like the dogma of the Assumption. The other is if there's controversy, like the first dogma, the rejection of Mary as Mother of God by Nestorius led to the definition. So you can almost take your pick in this case. If you want to just highlight the truth that's been papal teaching for three centuries, that's a good reason to proclaim this dogma. If you want to solve controversy regarding what co-redemptrix means, and that it doesn't at all mean that Mary is equal to Jesus, it just means that Mary uniquely cooperated with Jesus in the great work of the redemption, which has always been our Catholic faith, then if you want to clarify that, that's another good reason for the dogma. But that's clearly the heart of the reported messages of Amsterdam. And I would just say this, too. The Church doesn't have any forbidden books. So you can read the Quran, you can read Nietzsche, you can read Hitler, you can read Stalin. Well, certainly you can read the messages, but what the Church is saying is, or at least the local bishop here, and we want to obey that, is saying that you can't refer to them as being supernatural. as was the case. And yeah, history means something. 18 years and having cardinals and bishops and faithful all throughout the world show devotion to the Lady of All Nations, I think is unprecedented to try to even to try to reverse that. But I think the future is going to be that this is going to be vindicated, and either before or after what I believe is going to happen as prophesied in that mass, and that is a fifth dogma, that Mary will be proclaimed the spiritual mother of all humanity, inclusive of those three roles, co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate, and then she can bring us the grace I think we desperately need by the day, maybe by the hour.
Yeah, the Lady of All Nations from Amsterdam. What a fascinating case, and we'll see how this progresses over the years and see what the church's stance on it is going forward. And for people who want to find out more, I know you've got a website, motherofallpeoples.com. Dr. Miravalli, what will people find if they go to that site?
Well, first of all, on the homepage, there will be an article about the present status of Amsterdam, and you can see the history of, for example, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith actually contacting them, and the diocese, I should say, and encouraging them to allow for devotion. You can see the history of what has happened positively. But there's also about 500 articles on all the dogmas and doctrines and devotions and most all the apparitions regarding Our Lady. So it's an effort to try to serve the full truth of Our Lady to hopefully bring forward a more generous love of Our Lady.
Wonderful. Well, we're so grateful to you, Dr. Mark Miravalli, for joining us on today's program and talking to us on this anniversary date of the Lady of All Nations. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
My pleasure, Michael. Happy feast day to you.
God bless. That was Dr. Mark Miravalli, professor of Mariology at Franciscan University at Steubenville. And you can check him out, his work at motherofallpeoples.com. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be looking at the question of the week. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. Hey, I love getting your questions. People write in from around the world with questions about miracles happening in today's world and those that have happened centuries ago. I love getting these emails, and I love when I give a presentation. I give 20 presentations a year at different Catholic parishes, conferences, shrines, and I speak for about 45 minutes and then open it up at the end of the night for questions about miracles. And different places are contacting me to talk about Eucharistic miracles these days because of the Eucharistic revival. So contact me. Go to my website, miraclehunter.com, and click on the Contact tab to invite me to speak at your parish. And looking at the question for this week, it's a good one. The question is, dear Miracle Hunter, what happens when the Vatican does not accept the positio of a potential saint? Thanks, James. Well, thanks, James. That's a great question. And so we saw in the Miracle News today that Mother Mary Lange's cause, the position paper, the academic position paper detailing the life of virtue, that was accepted by the Vatican this week. And so what happens when the Vatican does not accept the position paper? And that's happened in numerous cases. It's more common, I think, that somebody who is proposed to Rome as a saint, Rome will go through all the paperwork and eventually say that it is approved, and then they will go in the search for miracles, and then they will be working on going forward when that's approved. But there are cases, of course, when the positio is not accepted, and then it does not move to the declaration of a venerable. And in those cases, the Vatican may go back to the canonization cause and tell them what was wrong with it, or what things were causing some of the difficulties in approving it going forward, and they'll ask them to resubmit it and to re-edit it. I suppose there are probably cases that after resubmission one or two times, that it just goes nowhere. But usually what happens is it goes back to the cause, and they work on it again from there. So thanks, James, for your question. And if you have a question for the Miracle Hunter, you can send me an email. Go to my website, miraclehunter.com, and click on the Contact tab. You can send me a message that way, and maybe I'll be answering your question next week. Let's take a look at the 365 Days with Mary project. We do this every week where we look at the Marian devotion of the day. We all know Fatima, May 13th, or Guadalupe, December 12th, or Lourdes, February 11th. We all know that these are the big ones, but there, believe it or not, there's a different other Marian feast day each and every day of the calendar year. So for today, March 25th, we've got the Lady of All Nations from Amsterdam in the Netherlands. In a series of 56 apparitions lasting 14 years, many prophecies were given to Ida Pertamin by the Lady of All Nations, along with a prayer and an image of the Blessed Mother standing on a globe with a cross behind her. Now, 2 weeks after Pope Pius XII proclaimed the dogma of the Assumption, Ida was given the title the Lady or Mother of All Nations and details of Mary as the co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. And she was told this would be the last and greatest Marian dogma. And after some controversy, the apparitions were declared supernatural by the local authority, Bishop Marianus Punt, in 2002. And then it was declared non constate supernaturalitate in the year 2020. So we'll wait and see what happens next with that one. And that is the Lady of All Nations from Amsterdam in the year 1945. For more information on the 365 Days with Mary project, you can go to 365dayswithmary.com. You can go to the web. You can go to the Facebook page and join any of the 10,000 other followers, or download the free app from the iOS App Store, 365 Days with Mary. Let's take a look at the sainthood news. We do this every week. We talk about they might be saints, those people who are coming down the pike, those people who are servants of God becoming venerables, those venerables becoming blesseds, and those blesseds becoming saints. And on Thursday, February 23rd of 2023, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, received an audience, His Eminence Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, the prefect of the Dicastery of the Causes of Saints. And during the audience, the Supreme Pontiff authorized the same Dicastery to promulgate a decree regarding the heroic virtues of the servant of God, Albertina Violi Zirondoli, a lay faithful and mother of a family. She was born July 1st, 1901 in Carpi, and she died on July 18th, 1972 in Rome. And she was a lay person and mother of a family. She dedicated herself with joy and a sense of responsibility to her family and work commitments, managing to keep herself in communion with the Lord. She worked as a teacher in disadvantaged locations, maintaining zeal and passion. And that was the description from the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints website. And for more information on other people who might be saints, and with one miracle she will move on to blessed, and two miracles she will move on to becoming a saint. For more information on They Might Be Saints, you can go to theymightbesaints.com. And also we have the Might Be Saint of the Day. Blessed Margareta Flesch from 1826 to 1906, who lived in Germany, and her memorial is today, March 25th. And she's the daughter of an oilseed miller, the oldest of seven children. When her parents died, Margarita worked as a day laborer to help support her siblings. In 1861, she and her sister Marianne moved into quarters at the Chapel of the Holy Cross in Walderbach in Germany. And she trusted God for their daily bread and working with the poor and the sick. She cared for orphans. She taught home management at local schools. And other women were attracted to the work and formed the foundation of the Franciscan Sisters of the Blessed Virgin Mary of the Angels. And Margareta took her vows in a new congregation in the Chapel of the Holy Cross in 1863, taking the name Sister Mary Rose. And Mother Rose spent the rest of her life as superior of these sisters. And by her death, there were 900 sisters in 72 mission houses serving the sick and the poor. What a big impact. And she died on March 25th, 1906, in Walderbach in Germany of natural causes. And she was declared venerable by the Catholic Church and beatified by Pope Benedict XVI on April 28th, 2006. That's when she was venerable. And Pope Benedict also in 2008 beatified her. So with one more miracle, she will become Saint Margareta. And that was Blessed Margareta Flesch from Germany, 1826 to 1906. For more information on this future saint and any of the other future saints we feature on the program, They Might Be Saints on EWTN, you can go to theymightbesaints.com. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Aaron Berghaus, the director of Santiago, the Camino Within. Stay with us for that.
Now, Back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. We talk a lot about saints on this show. We talk about future saints and the great saints. And one of the greatest saints in history, especially when we talk about miracles, we talk about St. James, Santiago. And there's this the pilgrimage route to his grave, which is the Camino. I know people have taken that incredibly long trip on foot, and there are shorter routes as well. But the stories that come out of the experiences on the Camino are remarkable. You hear people who have experienced physical miracles and spiritual healings, and perhaps just been able to clear their mind on this incredible route to the bones of St. James, Santiago, as he's known. And there are various miracles throughout the ages that have been attributed to St. James, and different books and registries and canons of miracles that have been compiled of all the great things that have happened from people who have had experiences along this route. Well, there's a great new film that's out. It's called Santiago, The Camino Within, and you can actually see it in theaters through Fathom Events. They're going to release the movie exclusively in select theaters nationwide for one night only, and that's Tuesday, March 28th. And people can go to ahavaproductions.com or fathomevents.com to get tickets for that March 28th premiere. So we're so excited today to welcome the director of this film, Santiago, Aaron Berghaus. Welcome to the program today, Aaron.
Thank you, Michael. We're so grateful for your invitation to be on your show. And so it's a little miracle for us. And so we're very grateful.
Wonderful. Well, we love talking about miracles on this show. And the Camino, the pilgrimage route to Santiago, is a place of miracles. And that's what kind of drew my interest in this film. What inspired you to be involved in this film about the Camino?
It was one of those moments, Michael, where I called a Holy Spirit hijack moment. And I'm sure, being the miracle hunter, you know exactly what I'm referring to. Sometimes there just aren't sufficient words, right? But we know within us that that is the Holy Spirit, and you're just hijacked. Plan or no plan, you know from that moment that this is God's desire for you to serve him in a particular way, and that would have been with the Camino. And we happened to be in the middle of a 72 film project. Bishop Donald Hine was doing a project on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Mm. So we had 36 English, 36 Spanish, and I was having a conversation with God, you know, that maybe this was the last film project that he had planned for me to serve him this way. And then poof, it happened. And what a great blessing it was, Michael, because I was not really familiar with the Camino at all. I wasn't familiar that it was even the journey of St. James. I'm really so unqualified, but God pursues us, right? And he is very persistent. And so great blessing of my lifetime, very edifying for my own soul to be able to serve God in working on this film with Bishop Donald Hine.
Wonderful. Well, that's an exciting backstory to this. And you're right, some people may not know what the Camino is. Why don't you just set it up for us? What is the Camino, and why was it worthy of an entire film?
Sure. And so initially, I knew that it was, you know, cool. It was a great place, and people wanted to go walk it. That was the extent. And so I began on a journey of trying to find every publication. Specifically, I was looking for, you know, Catholic publications on the Camino, and then looking for anything that I could find to educate myself, because I didn't know so much about St. James. And it took many, many months of deep prayer and discernment and contemplative prayer, you know, that deep kind of prayer. I can say that I know him now. I love him. He will be forever a part of my life. And the Camino, in reality, is much more than something that's cool. It's holy. To walk in the footsteps that St. James walked along in Spain to evangelize about God. I find that the pilgrimage itself is life-changing. And there are so many miracles that happen for us along the way, not only in the call, you know, from that first hijack moment of the Holy Spirit, but all the way through the post-production. Miracles that only God could provide. one of the things that happened was before the production began was this waking up in the night where I really do believe it was Our Lady calling to begin in Zaragoza. And I didn't know anything about Zaragoza. And unfortunately, I was saying no at first because it was the opposite direction. And so logistically, it was difficult. And I have absolutely no sense of direction. And so I kept saying no. But the Lord is persistent. And so we began in Zaragoza, which in the history of the world was the apparition of Our Lady to St. James to say, keep on going. Mm-hmm. Keep on, you have this, St. James, keep on going. And I feel like I have a deep devotion to Our Lady. I feel like that message that she gave St. James is the message that she really sends to each one of us every day. She takes our hand, leads us closer to her son. I'm going to start to cry. And so she just so wants us to be close to her son. And she has such a powerful role in our salvation. And so she is really woven all through the film, you know, from the beginning in Zaragoza, all through it. And so I don't even remember what the original question was, Michael, but I could get stuck on her for a while. So help me along here. What did you ask me?
No, it's absolutely perfect. I just wanted a little background on Zaragoza and the Camino route. And I agree. I've been to Zaragoza myself, and it is truly one of my favorite places that I've ever visited in all my travels. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the remarkable backstory, we're talking about St. James receiving a vision of Mary while she's still alive. It's incredible. And there are numerous miracles that are claimed throughout history and this great pilgrimage route. And there's this documentation, these books that are held, these miracles of St. James that have been attributed to him. What about today and in your film? What do people experience when they go on this great pilgrimage route? What miracles, big and small, do people report?
Well, you know what I just love about the Camino is that it really speaks to the fact that God has no boundaries. It isn't that he only loves you and that he loves me, but he loves every single person on the planet. Every single person has been created in his image. And I think it speaks to the fact that people come from all over the world, and it might not be the same call that gets them there. It might be of no spiritual call within them at all, but I really believe that once you land on holy ground, that you can't help but be affected by that. And then walking in the footsteps of St. James, I really believe that it's life-changing, and the holiness of the path really speaks to the soul of the individual. Whatever the call is that got them there in the first place, whether it's to enjoy the beauty of Spain, to have a physical hike, the hike itself really does, I think, have an alignment with the hike that you're going to go on in your soul, because you're removed from all the noise of the world, and it's noisy, right? We have things from every direction, every day, all day, and so to remove yourself and to walk in the footsteps of St. James, such a holy apostle, and then to walk that journey and exert yourself physically, it propels, I think, within your own soul a depth of conversation with God. And a person can't help but acknowledge that there's something bigger than us. There's something more powerful than us, and that's God. And still on this day, in modern time, St. James is evangelizing. And I just think it's amazing because, you know, as he began and he thought, well, maybe he wasn't being very successful. Of course, I'm putting my, like, little human voice to that. But, you know, he was not feeling great, which is why Our Lady appeared to him. Look at all these hundreds and hundreds of years later. The evangelization still continues from the footsteps of St. James. So it just speaks to the magnificent plan of God, how he designs our lives, not what we have within us, but him within us, just by surrendering and laboring for him. And those seeds are planted, and those seeds might not bloom for hundreds of years, but they will bloom in surrendering and service to him.
Absolutely. We're talking today with Aaron Berghaus about the brand new film, Santiago, The Camino Within. People can see this on March 28th, on Tuesday, one night only, in exclusive theaters through Fathom Events. You can go to fathomevents.com to get tickets to this. And Aaron, when you talk about your film and how it's structured, what was your goal as far as telling stories to tell people about the Camino, but to talk about some of the experiences that people have had along the way?
Thank you for asking. I think first and foremost, the goal is to always do everything that we can in our human power to please God. And so there's highest cinematography, original music, and then pray for who it is that the pilgrims who he has planned. And then, most importantly, the words from a very holy priest, Bishop Donald Hine. God's given Bishop Donald Hine the ability to reach individuals no matter where they are in life, no matter who they are, no matter where they are. And I think he can take the viewer's hand and bring them into the Camino. It isn't watching from a distance, but he has this ability, it's a God-given talent, to take the hand of the viewer and walk them on the Camino. And then those, the pilgrims that we met along the way from different countries, speaking different languages, and how the call began for them to come, and then how it played a part in the transitioning of their soul and their lives on the journey itself. It was God's design, and it's Bishop Donald Hine's holy words that really help to lead the pilgrim on the journey, both on screen and on the ground.
Absolutely. No, I'm so excited for people to see this film. And again, it's on one night only in theaters for people who want to see it that way. And that'll be on Tuesday, March 28th in select theaters nationwide. How can people get tickets to this? How can they find out more?
Thank you so much, because it's so important, Michael. You know, as artists, we give all that we are to create art to reflect really the call of God in our soul. And then we ask to link hearts and arms with people like you and people all across the world to go and watch the film. Because by attending, what happens is, well, we pray it touches your heart, but it allows for us to have faith-based films in theaters. And we can't do that without your support, because for the distributor, they need our support in order to continue to have those. So by going, it really, you're linking your heart, you're linking your arms in this evangelization that we do together for God. And if you go to Ahava, A-H-A-V as in Victor, A, ahavaproductions.com, you can see right there, you can click right on the top banner for the tickets. You'll see a little bit of the trailer running on the front. You'll see a little tab for Santiago. Under Santiago, you'll see all kinds of materials that you could use to put up a flyer for press releases, all the interviews that we've been blessed to have thus far. And then in addition, each page is in Spanish. The film is available in Spanish and English. If you go to, once you go to Fathom's website, and thank you to Fathom for making this possible in theaters, you'll see that you can put in your zip code, and all of the theaters that are in your area will come up. Bring a friend, bring your family, bring your parish. We would be so grateful for your support.
Wonderful. Well, we're so grateful to you, Aaron Berghaus, director of this brand new film, Santiago, The Camino Within, for joining us to talk about this great new film. Thank you so much for being on our program today.
Thank you, Michael, and God bless you as you seek God's beauty in the miracles that he provides in our daily life.
Thank you. God bless. And that was Aaron Berghaus talking to us about Santiago, The Camino Within, a great new film out. You can see it one night only is the premiere, Tuesday, March 28th. It's available through Fathom Events. You can go to fathomevents.com for tickets, or Ahava, A-H-A-V-A, productions.com for more information and to buy those tickets. So check that one out, Santiago, The Camino Within. And that's all the time we have for today's show. If you missed any of this episode or want to catch up on past episodes, you can go to ewtn.com/radio, check out the audio archives, or download the free EWTN app. Check out my latest book, Science and the Miraculous, available from Tan Books and available at EWTNRC.com. Is the church anti-science? Well, no, the church uses science to investigate the claims of miracles. Check out those places that they do in that book, Science and the Miraculous. Join me on pilgrimage. People can go to pilgrimages.com/miraclehunter to find out more about my trip coming right up April 19th through 27th, going to Poland and an extension to Lithuania. You can go to Poland and walk in the footsteps of St. John Paul II, see the Shrine of Divine Mercy, where Jesus appeared to St. Faustina, her relics, her convent chapel, and her tomb, see the famed salt mines, the notorious Auschwitz concentration camp with Maximilian Kolbe's cell, the miraculous icon of Our Lady of Częstochowa, and Marian apparition sites. You can check that one out starting at $39.99. Go to pilgrimages.com/miraclehunter. Sign-ups are closing soon. And I'd like to thank you for joining me today on Miracle Hunter, where from claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt. Talk to you next week.